Excellent, excellent. Excellent point. We talked about parents, we've talked about grandparents, we've talked about people who weren't biologically involved, but I know the book took all kinds of heat from radio talk shows, but the thought of it takes a village, it may not take a village, but I want a village, don't you? I want a community of believers to have influence on my kids and on my grandkids. I love it when my grandkids show up here and you know them, and you address them as their name. It's not Rex's grandkid. You know their name, and you call them by name, and you interact with them as if they're individuals, which they are, but you treat them that way. And they, well, if they had their choice, you know where they'd be today? They'd be here. They'd come to church here. This, they like here, not because of the teacher so much, though they have to do that. They like it because how they're treated here. I want, and let's all participate in helping folks raise these young ones and turn these older ones and sometimes rescue the ones in danger. Well, it's interesting. Yesterday, I was having to do some construction type work. I call it construction. I was changing out doorknobs up here because I got my keys were stolen, and so I had to replace some doorknobs and rearrange. And guys, these hands don't match. They just don't. They don't match, and I can't. So every time I have to do some little project like that, I have to call Dad, and I'll say, "Hey." Oh man, I got this doorknob. What's it? And he said, "Well, turn it over." Well, that's what I needed to do. Put the screw in it, Rex. Well, which way do I turn? I mean, he tells me. But that is the same kind of thing that you want to keep the communication open with your children, so that years later, when they get to those points in their life about relationships or about more difficult and more eternal decisions, they can call on you and get your advice, get your wisdom.
Or you're on that subject, yeah. The rest of the story is that, Dad, you remember that pencil that you got that you could write on the bed with? You bring it to me. Asking me at 90 years old to buy something that I put in.
I was going to save that for later. You don't want to ask him to find something. Because when he starts looking and he can't find it, that's been one of the inside family jokes forever. You want to make him go nuts? Hide something of his and make him go look for it. But there's reasons we do that to him. And don't act innocent. We know. All right, all of that, we're headed in the right direction. We're learning the right kind of things. What I want to do today is I want us to look at the example of Jesus with children. And I'm going to make you work hard today, because this is the simplest lesson we're going to have in this whole series, but it's going to be the most challenging, okay? Because we're going to have to get real serious about it. We're going to have to work overtime if we're going to accomplish what Jesus does here. In Mark chapter 10, you know the story, starting verse 13, I believe. You know, Jesus is sitting down. Their mamas are trying to bring their children to him. The disciples, and I'm sure the disciples had every good intention. Was Jesus tired? I bet you. Was he busy? Always. And these disciples trying to care about him, trying to protect him, were trying to get some women. Don't bring those children over here. Don't bring your children over here. They were trying to protect Jesus. I'm sure that was their intent. When Jesus saw it, what was his reaction? He was indignant. He was irritated. It bothered him that anybody, and there's a huge point here that we're not going to explore, but I need to at least say it. Jesus loves these children. It's not just a song. It's not just a slogan. It's a real inside out from the heart kind of love for children. And anything that keeps us from getting our children to Jesus irritates him. I'll say it one more time just to let it sink in. Anything, anybody, any television show, any sporting event, any hobby, anything, anybody that keeps children away from Jesus irritates him. That's a lesson for us. But look what Jesus did. When he said, "Let those children come to me," they're the ones that own the kingdom of heaven. I want you to notice verse 16, there are three things that Jesus does. And this is simple, really simple. What's first? He took them in his arms, okay? He took them in his arms. Give me a word, and I'll let you pick the word. I've got one in mind, but I'll let you pick the word. What did I just see Jesus do? Embrace them. What did I just see Jesus do? Say it. Accept them. Hug them. Comfort them. Protect them. Welcome. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Take all of those things you said and stick it back in that verse. The word that came to my mind was the word accepting. I mean, now tell me about these little kids. We're not seeing them, but tell me about these little kids. Are they showing up for school pictures? Are they showing up all cleaned up? You remember how you do them for school pictures? They don't always make it to school picture like that. But, you know, when you get them ready for school pictures, their hair's just right, their clothes are just right. Is this Easter Sunday that they're bringing these children to Jesus? No, these are kids that have been out doing what kids do. So tell me, how do these little kids look? They look scruffy. That's right. They look dirty. And, of course, they lived in a world, now it's hard for it. It's almost like we don't want our kids to get dirty. I think that may be one of the things that's wrong with the world. We ought to let our kids were meant to get dirty. These are kids. They got holes in their robe where they tore it when they were running it after church and they weren't supposed to. It happened, I hear. They got snotty noses. They got mud and blood and guts and everywhere, right? They're just kids. And they're all standing there. Now, are they interested in seeing Jesus?
Some may not. It kind of reminds me of the way that we do with Santa Claus, where some kids have an idea of why they're being...
Oh, there's some kids that just, "Oh, I want to see Santa, I want to see Santa." And I suspect they wanted to see Jesus. Are there other kids that are freaking? Yeah, and mamas are trying to push her. It's like herding cats, trying to get a bunch of kids up there to see Jesus. The disciples stop them. Jesus said, "Come here." And he took those kids. He took them in his arms. This is not some religious leader, and I'm not casting aspersions. I'm just making the illustration. It's not some religious leader laying his hand on their head to bless them, or let them kiss his ring and bless them, or make some little sign over to bless them. This is Jesus, the Lord of all lords, doing what? Come here. And he takes them in his arms. He accepts them. Mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, big brother, big sister, fellow church member, family of God, brothers and sisters. That's the first thing we do with these children that come in here. We accept them. Oh, now, are there some that are just so easy to accept and so easy to love? Are there some that are just so easy to love? Yeah, because when they see you, how do they act? Hi. And then there's some. And run off, you know, yeah. What do? You accept them. You love them in spite of themselves. You accept them. Folks, did Jesus do the same for us? It's amazing to me that we don't make that connection. That Jesus accepted us the same way. Are some of us a little bit scruffy? Are there some of us that are easier to love than others of us? You want that list? It would be interesting. I bet we'd all agree on some, or agree on many of these. But does Jesus love us anyway? Does Jesus accept us anyway? So first, mark it down. Jesus accepted these children where they were, how they were, what they were, whose they were. He accepted them. Now, we get into a rut, and I love us, but church people get into a rut. There are children that are easy to love, so those are the ones we immediately accept because they want to be loved. They got arms up running to us. But there are children in here that don't have that reaction. There are children in here that'll give me five, give me hugs without me asking, they'll come up, give me five, and all that. And then there's others that I'll walk over to and say, give me five, and they'll turn their head, they back away, like some of y'all. The point is, you accept them anyway. There's some that are not going to be as easy to show affection to you, and you don't force it, but you accept them. Accept them whose they are, where they are, and that applies to all of them. You don't just love the ones that come up to you to be loved. One more time. You don't just accept, you don't just love the kids that come up to you to be loved. Because all of them belong to Jesus, right? All of them own the kingdom, right? All of them were accepted by Jesus. Let's do the same thing. Second thing, what did he do? He blessed them. No. Before that, he laid his hands on them. Now, I don't know, okay? I don't know all that's involved in this, but I've read enough Bible to know that the phrase, he put his hands on them, can have some different meanings. What can it mean? I'm sorry? No. No jokes. What does it mean? Just touching. He could be just touching. He could be showing affection. Or he could be... Yeah, if they had any diseases, because we don't know in this situation if that happened, but it could have been healing. What else? All right, to guide them, direct them, save them. Excellent. And there'd be times you could discipline them. Sometimes, and the idea here is, it's almost as if we get the idea sometimes that Jesus was passing something on to them. But those of you who've been Bible students a while, tell me the phrase, he laid hands on them, that phrase, what's it used the most to describe? Okay, you can't say the word blessed, so... You're right. So, but give me another word. Healing. Give me another word. To lay your hands on someone. Yeah, there's a good way to say it. We're so poor at it, y'all. We don't know how to describe it. I want us to learn. We've done it. When the Wilson kids decided to scatter all over the world, what did we do before they left? We talked about it. We laid hands on them. What was that? What was the significance of that? We had no power to give them. We had no healing to give them. What did we give them? Approval. Our approval, our backing. We're on your side. Our seat. You're with us. Don't care where you go. Don't care what you do. You're ours. What was Jesus telling those kids? You're mine. Come here. Come here. Sit right here. I love this picture. I love this picture of kids crawling up in the lap of Jesus and him holding on to him. Because do they stop acting like kids when they get in Jesus' lap? Huh? Do they stop acting like kids? No, they're wiggling still. They're looking around. They're pulling on his beard. If he had a beard, I saw a picture, and I wish I could find it again. I would buy it and frame it in my office. It shows a little girl sitting in the lap of Jesus, and to get his attention, she has taken his beard and it's like turning his face to her. You know how many times in my life my kids did that? I wasn't paying attention, and they just grew. I love that thought, because these are still kids. And what's Jesus doing? He's accepting them. What they are, whose they are, how they are, he's accepting them. But he's also laying his hands on them to say, you're mine. I'm for you. I'm on your side. Do our kids know that? Do our kids know that? Let's stop talking about community for a second. Let's talk in our homes. Do our kids know that?
Well, sure they know. I love my kids.
Do they know that? Do they know that? Have you put your hands on them in a way that reassures them that you are for them? Have you communicated that lesson? I love you. Now, I'm going to have to spank your bottom sometimes, or I'm going to have to redirect you from doing what you shouldn't be doing sometimes. I'm going to have to get serious and shake my finger at you sometimes, but I'm for you. I'm on your side. I want what's best for you. Now, that's, you understand, they may not understand it right then. How many times did your parents say, I just want you to know this hurts me more than it hurts you? I heard it, but that's a lie, isn't it? I can remember, you know, kids telling me, said, well, my parents said that. I don't remember my dad or mom ever saying that. Of course, I don't remember ever getting spanked. But no lightning flash, I'm safe. When I got spanked, it was not, my parents weren't trying to be sympathetic. They were trying to change my behavior. We sometimes worry about our kids not liking us after we discipline them so much that we start trying to explain it away. Honey, I don't want you to feel bad, but I'm fixing to spank you. And so a lot of times we won't spank them because we don't want them to feel bad. Sometimes your kids are supposed to feel bad. Sometimes you've got to communicate that is the wrong behavior and it has consequences. I work in a house full in post of kids who never learned there are consequences to behavior. Because if your kid doesn't learn consequences, guess what? They'll learn it somewhere down the line. And you don't want it to be a policeman. You don't want it to be a jail. You want it, mom and dad to teach it, grandma and grandpa to teach it, church teach it, right? All right, last thing, and here's where we got to really work. What's the last thing he did? He accepted them. Took them in his arms. He laid his hands on them. I believe that was him, his way of saying, I'm on your side. I'm for you. That's affection. That's what affection says. What was the third thing? And you said it a minute ago. He blessed them. We have 15 seconds, maybe 30 at tops. All of you church people, tell me what the word blessed means. You've heard it all your life. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. We've sung songs, we've prayed prayers, we've read scriptures with blessed, 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 blessed. In fact, what we did, if you're really spiritual, you said blessed. I don't know why we put the ed on it, but we did. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Okay. What does it mean? What does the word he blessed them, what does the actual word bless them mean? Say good things. Be happy. Give me one more, just last call. Huh? It's a gift. Excellent. All those are good. All of those are good. The actual word, and I can even write it on the board for you. I double-checked my spelling this morning. I don't care if you know how to spell it. You know what the English word for blessed is? Sometimes translated eulogy. When do we use eulogy? And this is sad to me, but when do we usually make a point of saying good things about somebody? When they're already gone. We talk about having a eulogy in our culture. We have that at the funeral. And so here, after this person has lived their life, then we stand up. Everybody comes together and says, what a wonderful person this was. He did this, she did that. Jesus is giving each child a eulogy. Okay, now I need you to think a second. What does that mean? He's giving each child a eulogy. We're not talking about a generic, bless you, bless you, bless you. I need to check. You need to check. Help me check on this. But I don't think I've ever read anywhere where there's any power in the word bless. Bless you, bless you, bless you has no power. If you're going to bless, then you have to. There's a gift. There's a word. There's a eulogy to give. So what does that mean? Psalms 139 gives you some words that you can say in that eulogy. For those who don't know Psalms 139, what would be some of the words from 139 that would be part of your eulogy to them? Created by God, which means you're good. Wonderful. All His works are wonderful. And His thoughts concerning you are precious. Those would be great words. Give me other words from God. Start from God. Give me other words from God that are a gift, that are a blessing, that are a benefit to us. Because if it blesses us, guess what? It'll bless them. Give me another word. Word from God. Has to be from God. Okay, but words from God to us. Honor. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139. Give me another one.
Adoption.
He adopted us in love, Ephesians 1 says. And there's several in that Ephesians 1 that you might... And what does it mean to be adopted? What does it mean to be adopted?
Chosen.
Chosen and then given full rights and privileges of sonship. Give me a word. From God. We're His workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm giving these so you'll have, if you need to locate them. Now, if you come up to me later, I may not remember what words we used, but these are coming out of you. Which words help you? Which words from God bless you? Boy, you could go in John chapter 1, verse 12, that He made us children of God. Galatians 3, 26, we're sons of God by faith. Give me another one. Words that bless you. Words from God that bless you.
When He says that He'll always be with us.
And all the different places, but you got to look at Hebrews chapter 13, where it'll talk about, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Give me another one. Romans chapter 8 is full of the kind of things. The Spirit of God lives in you. You are heirs, joint heirs with Christ. Keep going. Words from God that bless you. Galatians 3, you've clothed yourself with Christ. Give me words from God that have blessed you, that's encouraged you, that's strengthened you, that's given you resolve. I'm a royal priest. 1 Peter chapter 2.
Masterpiece.
A masterpiece, which is the word in Ephesians 2 for workmanship. What else?
God's holy temple.
We are God's holy temple. Another one from Ephesians 2. Give me another one. Words that bless you.
Unconditional.
And there's so many places to find it, but one of the places I love to talk to kids about love from God is Ephesians chapter 3. That it is impossible to know A love that passes knowledge. It's higher than you can imagine. It's deeper than you can imagine. It's wider than you can imagine. And to know the love of God which passes knowledge. How about the peace that passes understanding? That's Philippians chapter 4. Give me another one.
Atonement.
And it's going to be hard to explain to kids. But if you find a verse in 1 John chapter 2 about atonement, in that verse, it shows what atonement is. It's Jesus standing at our side defending us. Now, I can tell we're pretty good Bible students. We got lots of Bible words. What would be the difficult thing with a lot of the ones we mentioned? What would we have to do? We're going to have to explain it. We're going to break it down in their language. And when do we start that? You start using the same, when you're talking to your kids, they don't understand it. So you start using those words before they even begin to understand them. You start to explain it to them even before they start to understand you. Because that's the words that they'll grow up learning first. Understand the words you use are the words they're going to learn first, right? That makes sense? So use these words that come from God. Now, I will, if you'll let me, if you want some words from God and you want to start using them in your home to talk to your children, little ones are easy. You want bigger ones and you got to think, man, what words would I use for them? Because there's some words you don't want to use, but there are some words, and I'll be glad to help you. I'll help you find those words. But let's do this and then we'll do some more later. But what is anybody ever say? No, I'm going to say that. That's just because that's going to take too. That's going to be hard work. Let's stop right here with this thought. We make sure that we teach our children to brush their teeth. We make sure that they learn to, you know, go to the bathroom. We make sure there's all kinds of things we make sure they learn. We make sure they learn their name and their first and their last name and their address and their phone number so in case they get lost. I love all that kind of stuff. I love all that stuff. And we start teaching them that, getting them ready for the world. But sometimes we stop teaching them. Well, first, we don't teach them things from God. One of my greatest joys was teaching. I loved it. My oldest, David, hated going to school. It terrified him. He cried. He fought. He hated leaving home. He hated leaving the car. He hated going to school. And I got to teach him about that story in the Bible of the angels of God surrounded, the angels and the chariots of fire surrounding him. And I'd tell him, I'd say, now when you go in that door, you open it wide because all those angels and horses and chariots of fire got to go in with you. And I watched him, I cannot tell you how many times. It gives me goosebumps still thinking about it. He would open the door with both hands because he's too little to open that big old door at Bowie. He'd open both doors with the door with both hands and look around at me and to let me know he was letting in all the angels so they could go in with him. He learned that at five, six years old. Your children know those kind of things? They can. You want them to. So let's start blessing them. Let's start speaking God's word. There's nothing better than God's word to bless a child. Let's speak those things that will benefit them. That's what the actual word blessed in Mark 10:16 means. Double checked it today. It's to speak words where you've reasoned out that will benefit that child. Customize your blessing to that child. And that's how we'll tie the knot today.